Welcome everyone you're listening to and perhaps watching Calling the Audible. I got it right for the first time this season. That's because I am Pease de la Riz and I am without my colleague and abhorred co-host, Simon Dagenais, who is off who knows where, doing who knows what, most likely to himself. Exactly. Simon, this country didn't want you, no other country wants you, so no need to come home. Stay where you're at. I'm joined by the illustrious Stefano Berardi to my right.
I'm that guy. I am Stefano Berardi. I'm glad to be on the show. I'm probably going to be better than Simo, but that's for you, the viewers, to decide.
Yeah. So the other option was, because we had some other options that were not able to come, guys who've been on the show more frequently, and then like it just never occurred to me, hey, ask Stefano. So all day long trying to get people, I was like talking to Eagle, like, yo, so just might be me and you. And Eagle, who's producing the show today. I was like, okay, that sounds like it's going to be like, the thing is that I'm probably the least liked media member in FBF. So to have like a full 45-hour long show of just my voice, I think would have had a lot of people quit the league. So later on, throughout the day, I was thinking about it. And I was like, you know what? You know what would be good? Steph's been on the show. Steph kind of gets what we do here. So Stefano, thank you for subbing in today.
Not a problem. I'm glad to be here.
So first of all, did you catch any games this week?
Yeah, I caught 6 games this week, 3 tier 1 games. I forgot which games, but there were 6 of them. There was yesterday I had Le Banlieusard
against Lightweight.
Against Lightweight.
All Anglophones in this league have trouble pronouncing
that's
that
okay.
Game.
I said it slowly that I could know I'm not offending any French people. So Banlieusard. I'm assuming that's how they say it.
Banlieusard,
just faster. Right.
Yeah.
Okay. Against Lightweight, and the other one was Conspiracy, which was a very entertaining game, to say the least. They were up against who were they up against? They were up
FPF All Stars.
FPF All Stars.
I actually don't have that one in my script, so
kind of hard to forget that it was Kevin White's team, and Kevin White was playing on defense. So yeah, it's all coming back to me. And then I had a tier 2 showdown with Flamand Fou, and. It was a very low score.
Le'Veon La Vida Loca.
So let's start there, if you don't mind, Steph. I thought this would be a high-scoring affair, and you mentioned it was just 12-6 win for LVL. Nick Schaffer, usually a typically safe quarterback, looks like he got away from that a little bit. And talking to Thomas Kutsu after the game, he said, yeah, but there was 2 balls that were dropped into defenders' hands. But that usually means you're also throwing the ball into traffic as well. So for a guy who typically throws safe, why do you think he got away from that in this game?
I feel like because he was playing down, he would force throws to ensure that he would make up for that point loss that they've had. So he was forcing throws indeed. Some of them were deflected into defenders' hands, which kudos to the defenders to be in the right position for that. But yeah, he was rushed. He was rushed really well. He was moving all over the backfield trying not to illegally forward throw the pass. And it just kind of got to him. He was kind of forcing throws. He was probably throwing to places that if he had a bit more time to think, he wouldn't go for it. But it was good. The defensive game, that entire encounter.
Thomas Kutsu had 4 sacks for Flamand Fou. He said the team, however, couldn't recover from the mistakes on offense. What could they have done on offense to better fit that situation? You're saying that they were forcing it downfield and whatnot, but what approach could they have used to better suit with the situation they were in?
They could have probably kept it more simple. They could have kept it a little more simple instead of always going for like the deep plays and big plays, like short yard, just move the ball up the field. Like it would have probably worked better for them, but they're all about entertaining, let's just say. So they were more or less running all around for Nick Schaefer and tossing it up, hoping for the best of these receivers. They actually got they had a Hail Mary that actually worked in their favor. I don't know how, but a defender was on the floor somehow. No call was made, but there was a Hail Mary at the last play of the first half. So, yeah, they were trying to, that's their reputation. We know they're a fast team. They're an athletic team. they're fun to watch, and they just like kept up with that. But this time, Le'Veon La Vida Loca was ready for it, and they stopped it.
It does seem at times that they over rely on that athleticism, and we've seen them lose to less athletic teams throughout the season. For LVL, is their offense stunted by ostensibly running through Nick Saddle and Alexis Labonte? They account for 53% of the team's completions.
Yeah, the Zach Evigé, he was going for Nick Saddle was his main guy.
Mm-hmm.
And when the defense was accustomed to that and started covering him closer and making it harder to find Nick Saddle, he would turn to Alexis Labonte. And it kind of worked for them, but... in my opinion, if you just if you have three other guys on the field that you could find for plays, mm-hmm. So if you were to spread the ball a little more, I'm pretty sure they would have put up more than just 12 points.
And one guy who's done a good job is like spreading the ball around that we talked about for EZW, Jeremy White. We saw this week it was Maxime Boucher is here and JC Ferland go off. Every week he seems to have a different guy. Their offense being particularly tough to match up against. Hawks had a tough time with them. They started Yakub Telemac. We assumed he would make this team better, but do you think this is the right kind of team that Yakub can succeed with?
See, that game I also watched. That was one of the games I watched. And like you said, Jeremy White, he's a fantastic quarterback. They're kind of like the farm team, let's just say, or like mm-hmm. lower tier team of Flamand Fou.
And all
so,
hooks.
So they basically play the same style.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, as for the Hawks, Yakub would need people to stay with him because he likes to use his feet. And most of his receivers just give up on a route. And they just, because they automatically assume that he's just going to take off running with the ball. So they're like, okay, I'll just do this route that he told me to do, and I'm guessing that he's gonna go. He had a connection with Riley Pincombe. That mm-hmm. was a good connection that they had because Riley would be the guy that would follow him and help him out if he was like running, scrambling in the backfield and such. So if they were to follow Yakub, he likes to like the way he runs. Their offense would be more lucrative, and it would be more. Easier to get some points on the board for that team.
Is that a chemistry thing between Yakub and the rest of his receivers, or is it just the receivers not understanding the system? I mean, what do you think the problem is there?
See, in my opinion, I think that the receivers and Yakub need to get on somewhat the same page, let's just say. The chemistry is lacking, yes, but it's not terrible. It's not terrible, but yeah, they just need to work out some kinks. They know that Yakub likes running around, and if they just follow him and, like, maintain that, and Yakub tells them to follow him on their drag routes and such. If they were to stick with that, they would have more success. So there is a bit of a chemistry issue between Yakub and his receivers.
I think it's easier for them to adapt to Yakub Telemac Eagle than for Yakub to try and fit their system, because it's hard, like reading a defense is something that you can either do from the pocket or you can't, or something you learn to do, but he won't learn it with a new squad of guys without making a concentrated effort and without sacrificing the season to learn that on a personal level. And I don't think that's what he wants to do, and I don't think that's what they brought him in to do. Someone that we're going to bring in to the show right now, we're going to talk to former 2.5 Dan's player and now Greendale human being, Danny McPhee. Daniel James McPhee, as he's listed on IMDb. We'll talk to him about some of his acting career as well as some other exploits with and without the ladies, and of course his time in FPF and his time this season with GHB.
Can you hear?
Danny, are you here? Danny is not there.
He's not there.
Every week.
Hold on.
There
he is. Hey, Danny, how's it going, buddy?
I hear you guys. Easy. How's it going, man?
Wonderful, man. Thanks for joining us. I'm here with Stefano and Eagle on Calling the Audible. First of all, I want to talk to you very quick about a company you've posted about. I've seen you post about it on social media a bunch, Fresh MTL. They do sort of prepackaged healthy meals. I'll let you talk to the people a little bit about it because you obviously know more than I do. Tell us about your affiliation with them and what they do.
Yeah, so Fresh MTL is... my stepbrother's company that I'm currently invested in. And what we do is prepackaged prepared meals if you want to eat healthy or if you're on a diet and whatnot. And honestly, very quality meals. I urge people to try them.
And so what's the difference, let's say, between this and like a lot of things you see with like Blue Menu or Good Food?
Not big of a difference. There's a lot of meal prep companies in Montreal. The reason why we keep getting return customers is more our quality and more our customer service. A lot of these menus also on these other companies, they always maybe 5 to 10 different meals every mm-hmm. week. We stay consistent. We have about 20 different meals we do every week, the same meals. So that when people like something, they can keep ordering it. Whereas if you're with Blue Menu or Fit Menu, sometimes their menu changes. So if you fall in love with a meal, it's not going to be there next month.
So that's wrong. What you're saying is your meals are trash. Got it. Get that on the scroll, Eagle. Get that on the scroll, Eagle.
So if you want to do like Taco Tuesday every week, that's something you can totally do with you guys.
Yeah, exactly. And everything's customizable, so all the portions, yeah.
Stefano's now interested now that he heard there's tacos. Now that I did you the solid and plugged Fresh MTL, now I have license to ask you whatever I want. So that's why I did it up front. We definitely will remind people before we let you go, however. Firstly, like just looking at this past game, you guys lost 37-32. After week one, you guys saw Danny Aylward throwing 7 touchdowns. You guys starting 1-0. I don't think you guys foresaw losing the next 4 games.
No, we did not. I didn't play with this team last season. I know they did fairly well. Mm-hmm. They won their division for this championship. They went to Indy. They made it to the finals and apparently lost like on the last play or something. And so coming into this season, I obviously saw us being a really good team and not starting off 1-4, you know. I don't know what the problem is, I'll be honest.
Well, it sounds like the problem's you if they were winning when you weren't there.
Sheesh.
Wow. Well, no, that's true. That's a joke we make often, and I'm kind of concerned that it is.
Well, I mean, I'll reserve those judgments for a little bit later, but one of the things I noticed, Danny, is in this season, I expected, like, up front, that Greendale Human Beings would be one of the best teams in the division. I thought they might be too strong for Tier 2. And now we see Danny Aylward in the 4 losses. He has a touchdown interception ratio of 2.14-1, which is like way below average. It's essentially that of a losing quarterback. And in his career, he has a ratio of 4-1. FPF, like above average quarterback play, is 3-1. Let's say like you're aiming for a minimum of 3-1. So in his career, Danny Aylward's been excellent. And this season, in the 4 losses, he has been awful. So
hey, Peasy.
Yeah.
That's my quarterback.
100%. But I'm just listening. My quarterback. I'm just listening stats and asking, what do you think's been the issue with him this season? Like, why is it different this time around?
Oh, well, honestly, I have no idea. I haven't seen his past stats or even played with him in the past as quarterback. Introducing me into the offense, I've never played receiver on the outside. I've always played snapper mm-hmm. in the Dan's offense. And you guys know what that snapper is. It's the same 2 routes, right?
Yeah.
So now you're putting someone that's new to route running on the outside. And there's times where I come back in the huddle and I'm asking him, like, did I do this correctly? And he's like, no. And he's correcting me. So I think he's being patient with a new addition to his team. Now, is that why he's throwing more interceptions? I have no idea. But so that's something we do have to fix.
We talked about this last week, actually, in comparing, you know, Joey Taylor's style to Danny Aylward. And, you know, it's a similar system, but done differently. You've played with both these guys now. So for you, what's the big difference there as to, while, say, Taylor's success versus Aylward's struggle this year?
Good question. Well, I will say this. Playing with Danny, first of all, there's more mobility at the quarterback position. So when the first or second route is not there, he's able to scramble around and look for a third or fourth read, which is really helpful in this offense. Joey, man, I don't know how successful, I don't know how Joey's done it over his career. But you know what? He wins games, and I'm not going to trash him. He's one of my best friends. And he has a very unique style, but it works.
Well,
and he's going to be in the Hall of Fame. He's going to be in the Hall of Fame. That's crazy.
It is crazy, but it's bound to happen.
Yeah, he's so Danny, yeah. You said you're used to being snapper. We've seen that Joltepuff snapping with Danny. He's been having a very successful season. So do you think if you were playing the snapper role, you would have Joltepuff numbers, or do you think that they would differ?
At first, I thought I would be a better snapper because I thought my ability after the catch to gain those yards was mm-hmm. better than Alex, but watching him this season, I cannot say that that's the truth. All his catches are kind of like in the range of the 2 to 3 yard range, but he's turning them up into 15, 20 yard gains.
He's definitely quicker than you would imagine with someone that with that lack of follicle. You see a ball, dude, you don't imagine speed necessarily. But when we were facing off against you, Danny, one of the things I thought we'd see was you at snap. So it kind of took us by surprise in the first couple of plays. I was like, all right, no, we need to adjust our defense a little bit because that's not what we expected. Because I've only known you as a snapper. But let's get to some things that are a little bit more entertaining and less related to that specific part of the season where you guys have struggled. You worked as an actor in the crew and as well as in the direction capacity. What do you enjoy doing the most?
For me, being in front of the camera, acting 100%. I mean, any way I could be creative, whether it's directing or writing or acting, I truly get joy out of it, and it's a passion of mine, right? So when you're able to follow your passion and chase your dreams, it keeps me young. You know, I keep myself busy with something that I love doing, and I have no regrets. It's one of the toughest things I've ever done in my life, and I'm pretty proud of myself for not giving up.
Definitely keep with it. I will say, however, since you enjoy being in front of the camera, I got a couch just for a part for you. But I'll let Eagle looks like he has a question to ask you, so I'll let him.
Oh, is it one of those the black couches there and those casting videos there? One of those.
You recognize my videos.
Actually, Danny, I was going to say, I remember watching your PSA that you did recently for, I think it was cannabis and driving and everything. And I thought that was cool. But then I saw the behind the scenes and everything. And so you guys actually were in like a simulated car crash pretty much, right?
All right. So the situation with that is I had no idea that was going to happen. So when you
because you were so high or?
No, didn't do the details.
All right.
But that's it. Like, so when you book a commercial, you don't know the exact details. It's more or less you go on set and it's pretty much just go with it, right? So the director pulls us aside, us, the four actors, and he's like, so you guys are going to be doing a stunt today. And
nice.
Right away, my heart started racing. I've never done a stunt before. I didn't know what to expect. So we're going over the safety rules and all that, and I almost shat myself. But the girl next to me, she was all cool, and she's like, oh, yeah, let's do it. So I had to put up this front, like, I'm not scared, you know, whatever.
Yeah, I didn't totally shit myself, yeah.
But that's it. And I had literally, so we did two of those takes where we had the tempered glass exploding in my face. Mm-hmm. And you didn't notice them in the commercial, obviously, but we were wearing earplugs because the noise was extremely loud.
My God.
And so we did that two takes. I've never experienced an adrenaline rush like that. And I've been skydiving.
Nice.
It was so much fun.
Yeah. Here's another question. When you go in for an audition, okay, do you ever feel like by the time it gets to your turn, the position's already filled? Or do you just like go with it anyway?
Don't discourage him from casting couch.
I'm just saying. I'm just saying.
No.
If you walk into an audition, there's a very long lineup. Like, what do you feel? Does it ever like... Do these thoughts ever occur that maybe the role's going to be filled by the time you get a shot, or is just that's just...
Oh, of course, that happens quite often, honestly. I'll explain you the audition process with that commercial, actually. So when I went in, they were... At last minute, they decided to do an open call, meaning anybody, you guys could have just shown up and auditioned to be in this commercial. Mm-hmm. They didn't know if they wanted to make it union or non-union, so they auditioned everybody. I went in the audition room, the waiting room. There were about 100 people just at that time. They were doing open calls for like 7 hours for the whole day. So going into the room, I'm like, holy shit, they're auditioning like close to 200, at least over 200 people. But you can't let that get to you, man, because you just got to remain positive and be yourself. And I went in the room. I made them laugh. I was just myself. They liked it. And that's how I booked it.
So you made them laugh for a very serious commercial. All right, that's fine. That's good. It makes sense. It's an interesting,
interesting
strategy.
They love car crashes.
They do, eh?
They find them enjoyable.
They find them hysterical as well, I guess.
It's dark humor, man. You don't get
it. Dark humor, I guess.
You don't get it. Don't watch Death of Smoochie. You won't get it. Just so you know, Danny, it may be Stefano may be able to have auditioned for that one, but I could have auditioned for any part. I was once an ACTRA card-carrying member, you know, so...
Oh, I did not know that.
Yeah, it is. Then one time my mom told me that I had a face for podcasts. So here I am behind a microphone where I can hide my face.
When was this? When you were a kid? Or
yeah,
like
in high school I used to do some extra work.
Oh, okay. You're doing that. Okay, cool.
Yeah. Yeah.
I once did stand-up, and out of a room of 20 people, I made 5 people laugh, and that just shattered my dream, so I just never went back.
That makes sense.
But
that
hey, I made 5 people laugh, that's and why some don't... people were just like...
But you made 5 people laugh, exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's why you no longer have dreams.
That's it. You know, that's why dreams are, you know, they're overrated. But hey,
tell us about your experience playing Speedo Jim in Tag You're It.
Oh, my God. Yeah, that was fun. Do you guys know Danny?
So here's an interesting thing that happened was... he's the same one who did the other film, right? First Kiss Moment? Daniel Malin? So I was actually at a party. I was at a party and someone mentioned this movie to me in a local production, blah, blah, blah. And of course it's a party, so I'm blasted. And I paid no mind to it until I started prepping for the show. I was like, oh, Danny was in this movie. I should have paid more attention and maybe have gone to that screening that this person was talking to. No idea who it was. But anyway, tell us about the experience of working with Danny and Tag You're It as well as First Kiss Moment.
Well, the thing is with Danny is that he's... when it comes to these short projects, these short films and whatnot, independence, it's punctuality is very hard to find. And everyone being on schedule, being on time, getting the shots done... in like with good quality, but also in a good amount of time, right? Not taking all day for one scene. Danny is a fucking man at that. He prepares well. Oh, am I allowed swearing? Sorry.
It's okay. Our sponsors don't give a shit.
Oh, P.S., perfect. We have no sponsors. All right. And
this podcast brought to you by Fresh MTL.
Anyways, yeah. So he's very, he's very professional at what he does. Yeah, it's great to work with him, and I can't wait to work with him again.
Any ridiculous stories about things that have happened that are particularly funny and ideally embarrassing to you?
Not embarrassing. I mean, I remember going into this audition once the role I got on CBC's show This Life. It was a two-liner, and so she's like, okay, you're picking up garbage with this pretend stick, right? She gave me a broom. So she's like, tend to pick up garbage for like 5 seconds and then I'll call action and say your line. I'm like, perfect. It's not hard. So I'm pretending to pick up garbage, whatever. Mm-hmm. I do not hear her say action. So I go on for about a minute and a half realizing I look like a fucking idiot picking up garbage for like stimulating picking up garbage for a minute and a half. And I'm like, all right, you know what? I'm just going to say my line. And then she's like, yeah, that was really well done. Wow, I really, truly believe you were picking up garbage. And little did I know, I had no idea she said action. Yeah. So, you know, sometimes some accidents are good accidents, for sure. And
hey,
then
Danny,
I booked the part.
You,
so,
yeah. If I were to tell you that I'm running an audition 8 o'clock on Wednesday, somewhere very far away from Brossard, would you go?
Oh, that sounds sketchy as shit. I'm not going to lie. I'd have to know more details.
Well, it's because Lockdown is playing GHB this week, so I want to get you as far away from the game as I can.
Oh, is that okay? I don't know who that is, but no, I'm there, man. I'm there.
I will say you guys are getting your second win this week because you're playing Lockdown. Everyone beats Lockdown, so I will
are
say
they bad.
Yeah, they're terrible.
I mean, it has me on the team. So
if you thought One Speed Power was terrible, you'll be pleasantly
surprised.
Alex,
you're on the team?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, nice, man. I'll see you Wednesday then.
Yeah, indeed.
You're going to see all of his zero defensive skills.
So, Danny, do you think a GHB, Greendale Human Beings, will fail upwards by ending up in a lower bracket for the playoffs? And have you guys been tanking games all along?
What? Failing upwards?
Yeah,
what
so
does
like,
that mean?
So if
I
you
mean,
lose,
fail upwards.
Because if you end up in the bottom, and we'll talk about this later in the show.
So like you're
course.
Sucking on purpose
oh.
to be better when it matters.
Oh. Oh,
so teams
no,
will be relegated.
No,
the
no.
worst teams are relegated into a lower tier, essentially.
Yeah, I found that out yesterday that we're for sure making playoffs, which is awesome. Like, even if you win or lose, that's pretty cool. But no, we're not tanking. I mean, you play to win, as that coach said. You know, you play to win the game, right? You don't throw football games. We've been in some really close games and some heartbreaking losses this season. So no, we're definitely not throwing games.
I can tell you that like having played against you guys and like the intensity, like in the game, I can say for a fact these guys are not throwing games.
Not.
Just a weird season
it
for these guys.
It just doesn't happen for them. I've seen a couple of their games and it's just something goes wrong and they end up with the loss.
Yeah. Speaking of, it's a game of inches. Yesterday, there's like 5 plays left. We're down 5. Seguin throws this perfect deep ball and I'm running under it and I take a second to adjust to see where the ball is and I like, it was a fingertip away from being a game-winning touchdown. But it's just those little things, right?
Yeah. That's how it goes. Man. Has Danny Aylward realized now that he has more than just 3 receivers in you, Brendan Aylward, and Alex Joltepuff? Because I noticed he has been starting to spread the ball run where he actually, 4 weeks into the season, had not hit another receiver.
Really?
Yes, it was bizarre.
Oh, shit.
And I could say in our game, the other 2 receivers were not targeted.
Okay, well, the thing is that, especially with me, Alex, and Brandon, mm-hmm. he's had a lot of chemistry with us because he's been playing with us for over the years. I mean, Brandon, for sure, he has great connection with. He's his brother. Mm-hmm. I've been very close friends with Seguin since grade 2. We've mm-hmm. been playing sports all of our lives together. So we have a built-in connection. And Alex as well. So, I mean, it could be the chemistry, but he's going to work with that with the other receivers, and they'll get some balls. I mean, you saw yesterday, Sash caught a touchdown. The other guy, Mitch, he caught a touchdown as well. So we're going to start spraying the ball more and won't be so predictable.
That's good to hear. Any chance at a real 2HD reunion? Getting all you guys back with Joey Taylor.
Oh, my God. Well, the thing is that I think we're ranked too high to all play together. We'd have to go to a really high division.
Yes.
And then we'd get...
Because you have a Hall of Fame quarterback. So that's how that works.
Well, that's it. Like, Joey's too damn good, man. And the thing is that, yeah, if we were to all get together, we'd have to play at a really high division and...
Just say no.
I don't think...
Just say no and you hate Joey.
No. I'm not saying no because I'm not going to rule that out. Never.
That sounds good, Danny. Thank you for your time. Before I let you go, tell the good people where they can get some great food.
Oh, whoever is listening to this, you come visit me at Fresh MTL. We have a location in Ville Saint Laurent, the Gold's Gym. We have a juice bar. We also have a juice bar and a kitchen in the Gold's Gym in Laval, right off the 13 in the Mega Center. Come say hi and say you're part of the FPF community. I'll give you a discount.
Awesome. Thank you for joining us, Danny. Have a great night.
All right. Thanks, guys. Take care.
So, what's my leeway in making fun of Stefano as an interviewer? Like, he's doing his favor, his last minute.
You could say whatever you need to
say. Nice. My favorite thing at the whole interview is when you started the question by saying, this is a question, and then you said your question.
You know, I gotta make it seem like I'm professional in any way.
So, man. Before you tell someone something, you start with, this is a statement.
Yes, and they understand right away whether to take it seriously or not. I'm doing the other person a favor and not catching them off guard.
So. For anyone who's a Parks and Recreation fan, it's a Perv Hadley moment. You heard with Perd, where he would introduce his statements by saying that they were
a statement.
All right, that was a lot of stuff, a lot of FPF stuff, a lot of movie stuff. Eagle, how do you find yourself procrastinating at work? Because today I procrastinated by writing my script for this show, as I tend to do on Thursdays.
I did not get a chance to procrastinate this entire week.
Okay, but let's say when you get a moment, like a little, like slow period.
Like, what do I do?
Yeah. How do you find time to waste?
It's a little bit of everything. So I usually have like a Spotify playlist or an iTunes playlist, but usually it's more just kind of like background noise than anything else. But sometimes I'm like, you know what? No, I actually want to listen to it this time and actually kind of just sit there. FPF work has to get done. So sometimes there's time slots where it gets done.
Yeah.
And I don't know, the usual stuff, Twitter, YouTube, Facebook.
He's definitely procrastinating tomorrow.
I mean, I have 3 screens, right? So I can do a variety of things all at the same time.
Mm-hmm. I got 2.
Variety of things.
I usually have 1 screen that's at least partially safe for FPF. So I get you. Steph, what's your procrastination technique when you have to focus on things and you'd rather not?
See, I don't really focus on much because I have nothing going on. Mm-hmm. But when I do procrastinate, I just tend to not do anything and just like blank stare into space.
Yeah, that's terrifying.
That's amazing. So you should try it. It's actually very fun.
You know, when you hear like, hey, this guy turned up to be a serial killer. Oh, that was a sign.
Maybe,
that's your moment.
Maybe it is.
That's your serial killer moment,
you know,
right there.
I haven't killed any animals yet or humans. So if I start, then you should start being terrified.
And just to be sure, when you say serial killer, you're serial. Saying S-E-R-I-A-L, right?
No, the dude smashes cereals.
I can see it.
I haven't eaten cereal in like 2 years.
Cereal's dumb. We talked about it last week.
Cereal is very dumb. Why does it have to be mixed with milk?
I know.
Like, why not Milky mix it soup. With whiskey?
Also better.
Not much better. Irish.
Les Amateurs de Sac had a game that finished early. It is three straight shutouts for Jean-Guy with a little bit of an asterisk. So we will talk a little bit about Jean-Guy, but we'll just mention very quickly. Is it David Lemieux? Just double check that for me. Eagle?
I believe so, yeah.
David Lemieux suffered what appeared to be a broken nose. Was a literal bloody mess on the sideline.
Yes, he was.
And the rest of the game was called due to this injury. It was just a very, very violent looking injury. Something unfortunate happening while he was running, just, you know, had a collision. That's an unfortunate part of FPF. It's happened sometimes. I remember a few years ago, Antonio Lani just literally breaking his face.
Oh, yeah.
His face broken into pieces. And if you've seen him come back recently, he wears the rugby helmet right now to help protect against concussions. And so it is something that happens. So our hearts out to David Lamoureux, and hopefully he gets better soon.
Yeah, and no suspensions in this. They're just one of those freak accidents.
Yeah.
No, it's completely accidental. It didn't happen on my field, but it happened on the field that was behind me and the other scorekeeper. It was just they collided accidental. Nothing happened. Then ambulances got called, and it was blood. It was actually truly very hard to see a man just laying there, just bloody face and hands and arms. It's awful.
Yeah. On the Jean-Guy side of things. Because it is our job
to talk
flag football. So Jean-Guy now with three straight shutouts, despite this being sort of not entirely a shutout. But will their defense work out in a higher tier?
You see, their defense seems to be right exactly where it has to be.
Mm-hmm.
So if they were to, let's go up to tier three, it would be tougher for them to maintain those shutouts. I've seen a couple games Jean-Guy, and sure, they have that bend but don't break kind of system going. So they allow lots of yardage, but when push comes to shove in the red zone, they shut them down, and then they force turnover on downs, and then they find ways to put on points on their side. But their defense is right where it has to be, in my opinion.
Yeah. Looking at these two teams now, let's hope for the best, and David Lemieux is back next week, and you know he's healthy and everything's good. Have we done all our analysis for the qualification round for Les Amateurs de Sac and Jean-Guy? Like, have they just given us what we expect from here on out, and we don't expect them to change too much in standing and so on?
Yeah, see, I don't think that there's going to be much difference from now until the end of this qualification round. So, we pretty much see what this team has to offer in Amateurs de Sac and Jean-Guy. Offense, a bit of a struggle for Amateurs de Sac, but you know, it's a tough game. It's tough to in the heat of the moment. You know, it's tough to find openings. You know, the other team comes prepared, and we basically know what these teams are offering us, and I don't think there's going to be much change.
Although I will say that although we've been praising the Jean-Guy defense for three shutouts in a row, I mean, they played Lamas Pajamas, who have scored, and I'm going to list out the points for in the last games. Okay, so first game, Team Stars, so it doesn't really count. Then 13 points, 14 points, none. 6 points, 13 points. That's Slam with Pajamas.
Mm-hmm.
Then Amateur de Sac, 30 in their first game. Nice. Then 7, 18, 13, 15, and then the shutout this week. Granted, under the conditions.
Yeah.
And then the other team, Bud Knights, 12 points week 1, 21 week 2, 14 week 3, 24, 0 with the shutout for week 5, and then 27 this week. So you look at their opponents, they're not putting up heavy numbers on that either. So yeah, sure, the Jean-Guy defense might be good, but I think it's also those other teams, their offense just can't get the ball in the end zone.
Well, that's why I'm saying, that's why I said that I think this is exactly where they need to be, because the teams they have played when they've shut them out are not very offensive teams. They struggle offensively, and like I said, if they were to go into a higher tier, it'll be harder for them to put up these shutouts. They'll probably even get more points than not end up victorious. Yep. You know, it's just tougher. They're in the perfect spot for that defense right now.
And next week they have Rosas again, 14-27, 6-21, 16. So not super high on those points. And then the big game of the week is going to be Team Stars, where they've actually put up decent numbers. So that one's going to be the one where we're going to be able to say, yeah, are they legit or not?
They're going 8-1, 7-1. They're losing that game. Team Stars are good. Just because I don't think Zhang Yi can score enough to keep up with
Team Stars. Team Stars' offense is pretty strong.
So this is a happiness sandwich. There's a sad bread. There's going to be a happy meat. And there's going to be another sad bread after the story. But let's go with happiness. Let's cheer up the crowd. Yep. Francois Marte lost.
Woo!
Yeah!
Wait, that's the sad news?
He didn't. No, that's the happy news. That's the happy news. That's the happy news. He didn't get. No, the sadness was with David Lamoureux. Now we're talking about Francois Marte. And I have another story later. Francois Marte lost. I celebrated. Got very drunk.
Yeah.
It was very enjoyable. I don't like to see the suffering of others unless they're Francois Marte.
So what was the happy juice that you chose?
Thanksgiving week, we opened a bottle of Hennessy, and now there's no more Hennessy.
What, Hennessy?
Yeah.
Wow. That's some high-end liquor
right there. I highly recommend going to Maine to buy alcohol, because, my God, there's no laws there.
In Maine?
Yeah.
I see duty-free is pretty much
New Hampshire.
No. Oh, yeah, it was New Hampshire.
New Hampshire? See, I haven't been to Maine legally.
It's not Maine. It was New Hampshire.
Legally. Like, I was like 15.
You were in a trunk?
I wasn't illegal age to drink. I haven't been to New Hampshire. Maybe. No, I was not. I wasn't there.
Are your parents actually your parents?
My parents are my parents, and they are fine. And my dad's probably watching the Habs game right now.
Yeah.
I don't know what the score is. And my mom is at a show.
You have intimate knowledge of your captors. I mean, Stockholm Syndrome.
Yeah, exactly. You know, you kind of get an infection with the Stockholm Syndrome. But yeah, we were talking about Francois Martin, right? And I didn't watch the game per se, but every time I've seen him, it looks like he could just connect with like everybody. But
he's like, got a better team than almost everyone in the division. This was one of the ones where I felt
Junkyard Dogs is a good team.
Yeah, and this isn't even as strong a Junkyard Dogs team as we saw in the spring.
That's true. That's true.
This is a weaker version, but a team still talented nonetheless. Do you think this? What do you think this means for Junkyard Dogs, and what do you think this means for Diablos? Or is this just a thing that happens when two top teams collide?
No, this is what it is when it's two top teams colliding, because the defense that Junkyard Dogs showed Francois Martin was something that he wasn't used to yet. Mm-hmm. They had the rusher, Sefakis, who was ridiculously fast, and Rob White, FPF's own Rob White, leading that defense to a very good victory against
Rob White's an underrated player.
Underrated, yeah. I mean, like, he's you see him, you don't think that he has much knowledge of the sport, but when he gets on the field, he has like a different fire, and it's just like he tells his players where to go, and he's the safety, and everything goes through him, and it connected, and he knew what Francois Martin offered, and they just shut it down. And Francois Martin was like playing from behind, and then he was trying to force throws, and then that's how he buried himself more and more, and that's how Junkyard Dogs came up victorious.
So we'll take a bit of a sad turn now that we made fun of Francois Martin. We're all happy that he didn't get to choose himself as quarterback of the week for the first time this season.
Woo!
Yeah, it was kind of awesome. 2 weeks ago, we were supposed to mention last week's show, and the show kind of got away from us. There was a passing of a fellow FPFer, a player who played in the league a little while ago, a man by the name of Mike Stagg. He played with a lot of the guys I know from sort of Moose / 6+R / Supply and Command, like that whole family of teams. I never played with him personally. He was just known to be a guy who ran a lot of plays at a system with a lot of quick outs and hooks, and he would fire the ball unimaginably hard, and so he was known for that. He died at too young an age. He died from ALS and dementia.
And I think he was a coach in the community.
I spoke to Corey Greenaway briefly. He said that he always made an effort to speak French to the guys, knowing that this is the community he was coaching in, even though his French was awful. He's not a guy. He grew up at a different time in Quebec as a pure Anglophone, and he always used to make everyone laugh because he did try. He did try, and they weren't laughing at him. They were just sort of like joyous and being around him and seeing his level of is him trying to make his players comfortable, and someone who's very, very much appreciated in the community. It's sad to see him pass, unfortunately.
I never got to meet Mike, but his name will be in FPF, and I've heard stories. He's an overall genuinely nice guy. He tries to make everybody feel better around him, you know, and you know, thoughts go out to his family.
So we like to look at FPF as a distraction from our real lives. We talked about how the three of us use it, or the two of us use it to procrastinate. The two of us aren't serial killers, use it to procrastinate and make it a part of our daily lives. Guys, I now want to go back to the distraction because that's what we're here for. But I want to start with, first of all, for those who don't know, every week, Stefan Berardi is one of many scorekeepers who give me a rundown of the games he witnessed during the week. They are often terrifying. They are the meanest things and some of the best analogies and allegories you'll ever find. I can't read them on the show, but they fill me with lots of delight. In fact, sometimes they're entirely useless, but I read them over and over again because they're amazing. So do thank you for that. So I want to ask you, Eagle.
Do you want to do like a 90 seconds of heat, but the Stefano Berardi version? Is it a little bit too risky?
That's super risky, and I didn't ask him to prepare for it.
Yeah, but that's half the fun.
Would you be ready to give your 90 seconds of heat?
Just give me a brief explanation, and I'll see what I can
do. You just talk for 90 seconds about the things you saw. Be mean, but don't be that mean. Quite as mean, and give us those ridiculous analogies like you give me.
Fair enough. Okay. We could try that out.
Let's get into the mind of Stefano Berardi. So once you hear the music starting, Eagle will cue you up for 90 seconds, and I'll just sit back and enjoy the magic.
Kind of forgot what my games I watched, though. We pretty much talked about four of the six. But
just try and remember as much as you can and talk for 90 seconds.
You ready?
Quick glance here. And hold on. We are the eighth. Well, we were the eighth.
Also, so, I'm ready. So just in case, we got a nice little...
Nice.
But it's going to be tricky to time it. So I'm going to have to...
You'll have a 7-second delay.
Okay, this is not...
You'll bleep on all the wrong words. You'll get only swear words. That's this kind of amazing.
This is not happening. This is not happening. Okay. Hold on.
Okay, about about any of the things you've seen this season, about any of the teams you've seen this season.
Three, okay. Two, one.
Well, I could tell you that whenever a teen star shows up, they are good. But their punctuality is horrid. And they need to get more clockwork done. That's for Teen Stars. Very good team. All right. Bulldogs, please change everything you do on the field. It's tough to watch, man. But, hey, you know, you guys feel like you're in a division that's too high for you. I agree 1,005%. Just because you do not know how to get things done in Tier 3. That's Bulldogs. Who else is there? Llamas Pajamas. Why choose that name? For one, that's probably the worst thing about that team is that name. But also their lack of skill of any kind is kind of tough to also adjust to. But hey, you're getting better, I think. But you're trying at least, you know. E for effort.
Hawks.
Okay, first off, get your quarterback situation in check, because Yakub is not for you guys, because he plays completely different. He only has one guy that he actually knows who he is, and the rest of you are just there that are pretty much decoys for a pass that will not happen.
Your favorite scorekeeper?
My favorite scorekeeper is definitely not Mokan, but I will say that it is myself, and no, I am not talking like an a-hole, but I feel like I do the job better than most. No offense to all the other scorekeepers.
Agreed.
That was perfect.
That was good.
That's awesome.
That's it.
The favorite one is myself. Yeah. Also, I want to clarify, this is 900% nicer than the text he actually sends me.
I have to be kind of
in our pre-show like rundown before we get on the air, I actually read them to the guys and we die of laughter.
I'm glad.
I am glad
I provide you with laughter of the facts that are torture on the field.
Speaking of torture on the field, you saw Lightweight.
I didn't see
them with Simon Dagenet, so you're spared of torture.
No. Oh, yeah, I did. I was spared of torture because Simon Dagenet is definitely horrible at quarterbacking.
We do joke around. Yeah. That said, with him at the time, we saw Francois Raymond replace him. And for a long time, we would have said, you know, that's an upgrade. Simon used to always say, my backups are better than me.
He's not wrong.
But I would say, so like here, I was going to say, can we safely say at this point, Simo has surpassed a lot of guys like Francois Raymond, or do you still think Francois is better?
No, I still think that Francois is better. It's just, you know, he just came into this game. I was there. He came into the game not really knowing much of his players, and he knew Corey Kennedy. Obviously, mm-hmm. they had a good connection. But see, the thing that Francois does better than Simo is actually move. Because Simon barely moves, and even if he tries moving, his arm, I just can't. I can't stand his throwing motion. It's actually, like, what are you trying to do? Are you trying to, like, throw a javelin or something? But, yeah, it's poor. I heard he has shoulder problem, but still, get it in check. But, yeah.
Go for one massage.
Go for one massage, at least. Good. Like, you'll be much better. But, yeah, Francois Wayman is a good player that could fill in and put up the points for the offense, but they played a team that Les was Parisons. Ready to play. They played against a team that was ready to come out, and
you got
didn't
so
lose
scared of
their
the
shit.
Name. You they got so scared of saying their name.
Banlieusard.
There we go.
I forgot who they played first. That's why. But then it's Banlieusard. Well, yeah. If these guys don't lose their shit entirely on the field, they are actually a good team. But it doesn't take much for them to just go off.
But so, like, doesn't that surprise you for a group of guys who Division One, Division Two, that they can't keep their cool? So, like, you've seen, for example, D Boys. Montreal's finest, all these teams who are top tier teams who, yeah, they talk a lot whenever, but when the game, when it comes down to the game, they focus, they settle and they focus. It seems like Les Banlieusards just lose their minds as soon as things don't go their way.
See, the thing with the FPF All-Stars or Montreal's Finest or whatever, they are probably the calmest team in Tier 1. They do like to trash talk, but on a very subtle level that just pisses off the opposing team, like this week when they played Conspiracy. They were just saying, these drops, how'd you drop that? Stuff like that. Very like subtle, just like one-liners. And then it just got to one of the receivers, and he just lost his head at the end of the game.
So all those passive aggressive comments. So you're saying it's
do,
a team.
Get away with it.
It's a team basically built around my mother and her communication skills. That's a
fun fact about your mother. Nothing sexual. Yeah. I promise. She was the principal when I was in elementary school. It was very weird, and I found that out last year.
She predicted Small that world. The height of your achievements would be guest co-hosting on my podcast.
I feel like that is a bigger. That's a bigger prediction than in high school, because in high school, I think that she just thought I would become a goon.
All
because
right.
I was a big guy that was always around the kids that liked to fight but never fought, but she thought I would take that curve into being a douche.
All right.
Yeah.
All right.
So, yeah, I prefer the FPF co-hosting.
Given his last two seasons with S Club Legion, and that was more recently, the previous season before that was with the Express in 2015, are Les Banlieusards underutilizing Simon Chabonneau Campo?
1,000%. And I'm going to tell you why. Santomo, he likes to connect with his brother, David, all the time. That's pretty much his first guy to go. And if it's not David, he always turns to his snapper, JF Markey.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot. There's like three JF Markeys, I think, in the league. But if I say his full name, people would get confused. But
this is the best one.
The best one. The one first. That plays Tier 1.
Yeah.
Then Division 1. That those are his two targets. But like Charbonneau, what's his? Charbonneau Campo or something like that?
Chabonneau Campo,
yeah, that's what it is. He is tall. He's very tall. And there was a couple plays that he made in yesterday's game that just, I was there and I was like, why doesn't he try and connect with him more? And then towards the end of the game, when they were up by 6 to, you know, like final nail in the coffin, they were going for Charbonneau and Campo. So if they utilize him, they would probably be better. But like I said, their main flaw is their attitude. If they could keep it down and just keep a cool head, they'll be much better off.
All right, so for those who don't know, because there still seems to be some confusion about this, but I'll explain it once again. We're going to break down how the teams will... Eagle, I'm having trouble getting this on my phone.
So basically, as everyone might know or might not, everyone makes playoffs, so there's no eliminations that happen after we finish our 8 games. But it just depends on whether you're, I guess, promoted or relegated to a lower tier, effectively, for the playoffs. So there's this whole matrix that we have that actually kind of explains it, and we're going to go ahead and put it up over here so you can see it. So basically, the top 6 teams of Tier 1 advance as their own group together. So
yeah, there's no relegation from Tier 1. So the top 6 teams will move on
to the highest tier of the playoffs.
And that includes Braves, FPF All-Stars, STL, Conspiracy, hashtag NR. Oh, sorry, I did it in the wrong order. Braves, FPF All-Stars, STL, number 4, Lockstars, hashtag NR, and number 6, conspiracy.
Exactly. Now, from that point onwards, there's a little bit of a snake kind of system. So you don't want to just take 7 to 12 and dump them all together, right? We want to go ahead and put the top competing teams in one particular tier with other ones. And we kind of do a mix and match. So if you're looking at colors here, and God, I hope some of you aren't colorblind. We have...
I'm having a seizure.
7, 8, 9, 10. So that would be 2HD, Les Banlieusards, Lightweight, and Sweatin' Beers as the top four seeds in the second bowl, which is the Arsenal Bowl.
But now Dirty Dogs and Free Vinny, the hashtagless Free Vinny, they get demoted into the next pool.
Exactly. And they end up being the top seeds of that particular group.
And so Diablos and Levion La Vida Loca move up into the next grouping.
Exactly, into the Arsenal one. So then to join Dirty Dogs and Free Vinny, we have One Speed Power, Flamand Fou, Junkyard Dogs, and SWAT.
One Speed Power is losing games, man. This is not...
Going back to the conversation, you should throw some games.
So then, from that point onwards, same general idea. So Voodoo, Pigeon Squad, Outlaws, and Lockdown are the top four of the Poliche Bowl. And then EZW and Unknown Talent go into that fourth bowl as well from Tier 3. Then similarly, Shinar Bowl has Mi Machine, GHB from Tier 2, Dreambreakers, Los Bandidos, Warriors, and Los Avocados from Tier 3.
Man,
and
so then, like, just looking at an Eagle at this point, do you think Tier 3, who do you think has tougher competition moving in to into that grouping? Is it where Dirty Dogs and Free Vinny are moving in to face teams like One Speed Power, Flamand Fou, Junkyard Dogs, and SWAT? Or Mean Machine and GHB going down to face teams like Dreambreakers, Warriors, Avocados, and Los Bandidos? What do you think the tougher break is so far?
I see Mean Machine and GHB, they're strong teams, I would say. You know, a game goes one way or another, or they're trying to get their rhythm, or they've just had a couple of bad ones. I can totally see them doing well against Tier 3 teams, whereas Dirty Dogs and Free Vinny, if you place them against OSP, Flamand Fou, Junkyard Dog, SWAT, those aren't gimme games. Those are going to be serious games.
I can think of one of them that's a gimme game.
Yeah, but I think there's good matchups there and everything. Even if you look at like Diablos and Levion versus Lightweight Bundlers, All 2HD, Sweat and Beers, that's going to be fair matchups as well. So I'm not so concerned.
All right. So where were we now? So now we have Supernovas,
Grabuge, Broken Ankles, and X-Men in the Rosti Benablicaver Bowl.
And Zhangi and Bruins
joined them from Tier 4. Then Hawks, Bulldogs, Tier 3. Then Rossos, McDo, Trojans, and Teen Stars in the Keyshawn Thompson Bowl. And then lastly, the last six teams. So
we don't promote from the bottom six, just like we don't relegate from the top six.
Exactly. So Replacements, Trailer Bark Boys, Bud Knights, Fresh Lungs, Lammoth Pajamas, and Amateur the Sack end up in the LaPierre Bowl. So the way this works, just to let everyone know, is that the teams that are with asterisks, so you can see here, so 1, 2, 7, 8, 15, 16, 19, 20, 27, 28, 31, 32, 39, 40, 43, 44, they're important for those numbers because depending on where you're seated, you actually get a bye in the first round. So first round, usually, let's say in the NFL, first two seeds get byes, and then wild card is 3, 6, 4, 5. Mm-hmm. Over here, we're not trying to penalize teams who have done well in other tiers. So which team gets the bye is different based on which one you're looking at here. Mm-hmm. So there's a different structure in terms of how that actually works out.
And we'll explain that as we get to the final, to the sort of the bowl previews. I think that's the next show Simone will be on, if I'm not mistaken, Eagle. Am I correct?
That's correct, yeah.
So he's gone for the rest of the regular season, and then we'll get him back for that. And when we have more concrete details about the sort of division leaders and all that. There's some interesting matchups for sure heading into it. Like I said, I think there's going to be some... There's no way to do this, to have this kind of format where it's inherently even. Fair is the wrong word because it is fair because you earn your spot. But it won't be inherently even. But we'll see how it plays out. It's the second ever season of FPF Cup. We're continuously tweaking. It's what we do.
And we still got 3 weeks left, right? Well, 2 full weeks plus the week 9, which is kind of recovering from the week 1 Labor Day games. So these standings are in no way final, right? There's a lot of movement that can still happen here. But this is kind of just to give everyone a perspective of, let's say the season were to end today, how it would actually play out.
I'm going to ask you a series of quick fire questions, Stefano, and you give me some quick analysis, and then we'll get into games of the week. Keyport Lockstars beat Sweat and Beers 46-6. When things go right, versus Jeff Rosenblatt, versus when things go wrong, why does it seem to really get them, and why can't you stay focused?
Well, see, Jeff Rosenblatt thrives against weaker teams in that division. Now, in this case, they played Sweat and Beers, which is
they also beat Conspiracy though.
They did. That was probably a sign that they probably got into the head of Dan, and Dan made probably some mistakes, and they just took advantage. Their defense there helps Jeff Rosenblatt a lot for sure. If the game were to depend on the quarterback play, it wouldn't always work in Jeff's favor. But like I said, Sweat and Beers, they're not a tier one team. I've seen them play. They have a very strange team, let's just say. Good guys that could play tier one, but then you have a bunch of guys that should be in like tier three. So like their balance is in my opinion tier two.
Eagle, let me ask you a quick question. Mm-hmm. Robbie Robinson throwing for what was essentially a bad Division D team in the spring, they shoot up to tier one because of it. Are we overestimating the quarterback's influence with the quarterback rating in the FPF Cup?
Yes.
Okay, that's a quick answer.
Great answer.
Something well, no, to think about. I mean, even if the regular season and everything, we force teams with higher quarterback ratings to kind of play up and everything. And the idea is you're playing with people of your talent. But if you're playing with a bunch of your friends and everything, right, who, you know, it's been fun or whatever, and you just happen to be the athletic one of the group, and trust me, I'm not, but I have friends that are. Mm-hmm. So I'm kind of like the dead weight, let's call it, that gets dragged along for these teams. So suddenly they have to play tier two or tier three. And I'm like, well, I can't keep up. Like, there's no way size or speed or skill you can get there. So either you have to play with your friends because they can't play with you, or you can't play with them. Like, it's kind of like that weird thing. So, yeah, I think it's a little bit of an influence. The other way of looking at it is if you have a high QB rating, you have to build a team to win with, right? If you're going to play for fun, then does it really matter?
I guess not. But we also didn't tell teams how they would be broken into tiers. We didn't know either. Of course, because we don't know how many teams. And that's why it's different from a season. That's why I think that we weighted differently. We need to weight it differently heading into the next.
And walk-up. Also keep in mind, just in that note, when we actually broke the teams down, we ordered it by total cap hit at the end of it, right? So it wasn't like we just arbitrarily picked caps and we're like, okay, well, these teams end up here. We put the teams in order and we drew lines at 12, 13, yeah. Whatever the things were, right? So.
Are you, Stefan, are you surprised 2.5 Dan's defense didn't cause more issues for Corey Precker?
I am surprised, but you see, the Dan's defense is very good, but they need the guy to get after the quarterback quickly. So once they could do that, because Corey Precker, he can't really move much. Mm-hmm. He could, but like it takes a lot out of him to make a defender move. So if they would have gotten to him better, they would have probably had a better outcome. But yeah, I was surprised that they didn't do better against Corey. Corey's a good quarterback, don't get me wrong. But like I said, if you get to him, he changes. He has to like adjust, and his adjustments aren't always to par for a higher division. And
more surprising, Voodoo at 2-4 or One Speed Power at 4-2.
In my opinion, it's Voodoo at 2-4 because I see this Voodoo team and they're very good. I mean, Frank Kay at quarterback, he's fun to watch. He's hilarious when he's mad at himself. It looks like he's angry for no reason, but he's not. He's a good quarterback. He's got some weapons too. Kevin Marcel, Saint-Armand, Bergeron. Vryon Kuld is very underrated, in my opinion. People are like, this guy, he's not going to do much. But in my opinion, he's a very good receiver. He always finds openings. But yeah, I'm surprised that they're 2-4 at this point.
Disagree. I think Voodoo is exactly what we expect from them. I mean, it's a core that's been together for a super long time. OSP is a similar core, but they've added pieces, subtracted pieces, moved pieces around, and so it was pretty volatile. So the fact that they've done well is both kudos to the team, but also a welcome surprise.
Supernova's strong but undercover team by the FPF media. My fault, mainly.
Fact.
I don't hear much about
that
Supernova.
That said, is Benji Ziegler underused in their offense?
Yes, he is. Benji is very athletic. He's a very good player. If they get him the ball more, I'm pretty sure they would get media attention because their offense would be stronger and put up more points. So, yeah, I definitely believe that they should use them more throughout the season.
Matthias Gagnon for Bruins, 3 games played, 7 catches, 80 touchdowns, 2 touch. Sorry, 7 catches, 80 yards, 2 touchdowns. Worth wondering or just matchups?
Well, listen, he stepped up when one of their guys went down, and he just showed up. He's a very good player. I've seen him play in Laval, and he always finds ways to get past the defenders, and he's very good. Like, people are going to have to adjust to him, or else he's just going to keep picking them apart.
That brings us to everyone's favorite segment,
Games of the Week!
Was that supposed to say it like that?
Yeah.
Replacements, Teen Stars.
Teen Stars.
Eagle.
Teen Stars.
Bud Knights, McDo.
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 Trailer Park Boys, Bruins.
Bruins.
Yeah, Bruins.
Llamas, Pajamas, Fresh Lungs.
Fresh Lungs.
Fresh Lungs.
Trojans, Amateur Desac.
Trojans.
Trojans.
Rostov, Zhangi.
Ooh.
Zhangi.
I think Rostov is going to break that defense.
No,
never doubt the
Plant. William Plant? All
right. Never doubt the Plant.
Let's hope so. Let's hope so. And tier three, Unknown Talent take on Los Bandidos in probably the best game of the weekend.
Unknown Talent is a very great team. I love
I'm going to go with Unknown Talent.
I love watching that team play.
Grabuge, Dreambreakers.
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 Supernovas versus the Hawks.
Supernovas.
Supernovas. The Hawks need work.
Not a lot of disparity between you guys. Bulldogs, Broken Ankles. We know you're not a big Bulldogs.
I'm not a big Bulldogs fan, and they know it. I tell them all the time, all the games I watch them. Broken Ankles are winning.
It's got to be Broken Ankles.
X-Men, Los Avocados.
Los Avocados are going to win.
I'm going to predict a tie on this one, only because every time I've picked X-Men, they've lost, and every time I pick Los Avocados, they've lost. So screw you guys. You're going to try and fuck me over with a tie.
Avocados are winning.
Le'Veon, La Vida Loca, One Speed Power.
You forgot ECW Warriors.
Oh, ECW Warriors.
ECW.
ECW, because Warriors are going to lose their shit.
Le'Veon, La Vida Loca, One Speed Power.
Le'Veon, La Vida Loca. Mm. I hate that team name, by the way.
Who's your rusher?
Danitard.
That guy's a star. That guy's a star.
Le'Veon, La Vida Loca.
He's been a rusher all season, by the way.
He's a star. He missed a game.
Yeah,
he
but
can't tell
game.
By the zero to the cycle.
That one game I watched, he was not there, unfortunately.
Yeah,
I wanted
this
to
game,
watch him.
I'm going to go with Le'Veon.
All right. Mean Machine, Junkyard Dogs.
Junkyard Dogs.
Junkyard Dogs.
Big win. Continue.
SWAT, Pigeon Squad.
SWAT.
Pigeon Squad's going to win that game.
No.
Lockdown, no. Greendale Human Beings.
GHB.
Yeah. Green,
I agree. Yeah. Outlaws, Voodoo.
Outlaws.
Outlaws.
Diablos, Les Flamants Fous.
Ooh, that's a good game.
That is a good game.
I'm going to say Diablos is going to bounce back. Anytime.
You want to go so bad against François Martin.
I really want to pick Flamants Fous, but the thing is, the Diablos defense is good against what they do.
Mm-hmm. They're going to play cover three the entire game.
Yeah,
and force him to throw hooks, which he doesn't want to do.
But in a way, I think that actually might be the way to beat the Diablos.
It is, but you need to stay disciplined and throw the sideline hook the entire game.
Yeah. Yeah.
Look at you guys.
I'm going to pick Diablos, but I feel dirty doing it.
Yo, Tom Couture, Nick Schaefer, we just told you. Do it.
Yeah.
Braves, Sweat and Beers.
Oh, wow. Is this even supposed to be a choice? I'm saying Braves are going to win by like 48 points.
Sheesh.
Braves put up more than 60 in this one.
They put up 60 this week.
But more than 60.
Oh, okay.
The lighter weight without Simon Dagenais versus Dirty Dogs.
Lightweight.
Dirty Dogs going to win.
Hashtag NR, Keyport, Lockstars.
Hmm.
Good game.
Hashtag NR, my opinion.
No, Keyport.
Oh, yeah. They don't want to win, though. Listen,
they keep trying to lose. FPF All-Stars, STL.
Well, that's a good game.
That's a very good game.
That's a very good. I think STL is going to come out with the win.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm not sure. I'm really not sure. Well, okay. I want to think about this one for a little bit. So,
go for it.
You have Dylan Taylor, who's QBing that team?
Yes.
And you have Jamie Ojea and Theo Ojea and Vac Thuren and Paula Pierre and all those guys for
targets.
STL.
These mm-hmm. are definitely good targets against the FPF All-Stars.
And this is the first time Dylan Taylor's going to play Wyeth?
Yes, question mark.
Or the STL core has played Wyeth? And Terrence Adams is rushed. Mm. This is a good game.
I think it'll be closer than it first appears.
Yeah.
It is.
But I think FPF All-Stars win it.
Yeah. That's what I think, too.
If it's an offensive showdown, FPF All-Stars. But I think that they're going to find ways to shut down. Theo is going to find a way to help his team shut down Kevin.
Yeah, because I don't think the FPF All-Stars defense is going to be able to do much about against that receiving core and everything, right?
I feel like
and
Theo has played Kevin a lot.
Yes.
Yeah, so, but Theo, I mean, let's call it what it is. He's unstoppable when you don't cover him properly.
No,
right?
I know, but I'm saying defensively.
Most people are unstoppable when you don't cover them properly.
No, but I mean, like, he can carry the team, and even if you double team him, he can still carry the team. So over here, you overload one side of the field, and then what? The other side's taking advantage of him. Dylan Taylor's smart enough to do stuff with that type of system,
right?
Will
he have time with Chris Meard rushing?
That's, yeah.
That's the thing. That's
because
the big
Dylan Taylor does not read quickly.
That's true.
He's still developing, and it's not no shame. It's hard to play this level. I'm not changing my pick,
but yeah, these are all very good points. Yeah. I'm not changing my pick.
These are good points. I will listen to them and not adapt despite new information.
When I say something, it stays, okay?
I'm going to go with All-Stars, but honestly, I'm not confident. I'm not.
It's going to be a very
And I don't say that very often when it comes to game? Finest and that core.
When's that game?
That game is Tuesday in Machine.
I'm not even going to be there. Goddamn.
Conspiracy, Frivany.
Ooh.
Hashtag or not?
No, never. And it's pronounced oddly because it's two words together. So Frivany.
Frivany.
Is it Frivany?
Frivany?
I'm going to go, no, I'm going to go Conspiracy.
The hashtag makes such a difference in that team name, though. Wow.
I know, it sucks that they lost it,
hashtag Frivany sounds so good, and Frivany is just
Frivany
awful.
Is just dumb.
Like, Frivany.
Like, why? Like, why?
Dumb Frivany.
I'm going
to
say...
I'm going to change the V to lowercase.
Well, they'll probably go and change your name to hashtag Alex Dacula.
Free hashtag Vinny, that's it. No, I'm going to say Conspiracy is going to win this game.
2HD, Les Bons Lizards.
2HD, Les Bons Lizards are going to lose
I think 2HD will make them lose their minds.
Yeah, that's, I just said that.
Oh, right, sorry. Okay. I'm not listening to you.
I am a very forgiving person.
Apparently.
I said Bons Lizards are going to lose their mind and 2HD is going to take advantage.
That's exactly what I think will happen as well. Factual. And it'll probably be the opposite. 2HD will probably lose by 40 points because we just because we said it.
Just because it's two fat guys saying it. All right.
Final thoughts.
Well, when you get burnt, always remember to use polysporin.
But like, or unless it's sunburn, in which case, aloe vera.
No, I'm talking about my situation. I got burned on my lip.
Oh, I thought it was herpes.
When you bite, no, it's not herpes. I haven't had contact in a while, but whatever. Anyways.
With herpes?
No, with
no, sorry, I know you said contact in a while, but I thought it was contact in the wild. And that's better.
That is better?
Yeah.
I'll take your word for it. Yeah, so when you're biting into a pizza pocket, be careful. It will burn you. This is sponsored by Polysporin.
Stefano Berardi, the only living person to still eat pizza pockets. I believe they were discontinued in 1999.
That is because I cannot cook.
Eagle, final thoughts.
Did any of you go watch Venom this last weekend?
Oh, that was one of my topics, was Eagle's going to bash a movie he didn't see.
So, yeah, it was one of the topics.
I
remember that.
The reviews were terrible.
Mixed reviews.
Everyone says don't go watch it. They make $200 million in their opening weekend.
How stupid is that?
I don't understand people.
People were
mad. See, I don't understand people that trust reviewers.
People were mad because the buildup was too slow. It took too long for him to
turn into Venom. Also, they told the story.
Pretty much. People don't like story. They like action. That's what.
See, this is entirely what's wrong with you.
This is why Rotten Tomatoes is the worst source of reviews.
Honestly, what stops you from watching something yourself and making an informed decision? Or does having more information in some way make you less informative?
You're a comic book fan. You know what it's like to watch a movie and you're like, why aren't you representing my character
properly? First of all, I'm not going to be a slave to the source material. Because people could tell new stories. I don't want to read the same old shit. I don't want to see Martha's goddamn pearls hitting the goddamn ground again. We all know how Bruce Wayne's parents died. Tell a different story. So I'm okay with being a different story. Second of all, because I'm a real comic book fan, I'll actually check it out. And I'll make an informed opinion because I'm smarter than you.
Ooh.
I'm more attractive than you.
Look at that.
And more analytical.
Analytical.
Let's just make that... Actually, no.
Analytical, what are
I have a second thing to go on.
All right. So there'll be second final thought.
My going for two. My second thought is FPF, games on Thanksgiving. The fuck? We got what we deserved with a close complex.
That was a shit show.
Also, a shit show also by FPF rescheduling the games for the same day at a different complex.
I was there that whole time. I had to stay. It was a disaster. People were coming in saying, what the hell's going on? That people
unmitigated disaster.
I can't go.
Terrible.
It was awful, awful. Come on.
People leaving their... First of all, you force people to leave their families on a holiday to go to a field that's closed to then reschedule them to play the same night.
Even further.
Later
than where they
and further. And out of the same direction.
And you're expecting to be respected for that. No chance.
No. Sorry.
That was rough.
That's on us.
That
was messed up.
That is our bad. But yeah, that was kind of brutal. Not going to lie.
So,
but it was fun.
Thank you, Eagle, for being the most predictable person in the world.
Obviously.
Thank you, Stefano, for being the most reliable person in the world.
Thanks, man.
Most of all, thank you all for letting me be myself.